Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Fan for Racing NASCAR Weekend Preview. This is Thursday night, April the 27th, and we are previewing Richmond International Raceway for both the Xfinity Series as well as the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, and we'll also preview the ARCA Racing Series at Salem Speedway this weekend. But to give you an idea of our agenda for tonight, during the 8:30 half hour, co-host MJ Huseman and I we'll be talking about the Can-Am Pro Series East and West. We'll talk about their next race dates and a little bit of news that's there in that series. Then we'll go on to the ARCA Racing Series preview of Salem. During the 9 o'clock half hour, we'll cover the Camping World Truck Series news and notes. They're not racing this weekend, but we'll kind of cover some of the news and notes from that series. And then we'll get into the Xfinity Series preview. And during our 9:30 half hour, we'll talk about the Dale Earnhardt Jr. retirement announcement that came out this week. And I also have some audio from Steve O'Donnell that we'll play and talk about that as well. After that, we'll go ahead and do our Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series preview. And to help me with all of that tonight is our co-host, MJ Huseman. So welcome to the show, Jay.
All right, Sharon. It's good to be here. Wasn't sure we were going to have any news to talk about, but with Junior retiring, I guess we could fill a whole hour or so with that, huh?
Probably. It's been big news this week, and we have carved out some time during the show tonight to talk about that. So definitely stay tuned for our 9:30 half hour when Michael and I will talk a bit about that, along with the with the audio that we have from Steve O'Donnell. He is the VP of NASCAR, and he is a VP of NASCAR, and he's also the director of competition, and let me see if I can get the correct wording here. He's the executive VP and the chief racing development officer for NASCAR. So we will have that information from him via the audio that we have available. But MJ, I want to get started with the let's start with the Can-Am Pro Series, because they're not racing this weekend, but NBCSN put out their schedule for broadcasting the Can-Am Pro Series as well as the Wheel-Am Modified Championship title runs throughout this season, and that's all available at the NASCAR Home Tracks website, so that you can see exactly when those broadcasts are going to happen for each of the races in those series. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw that announcement earlier today, and I replied that I was happy to see that these guys need more coverage.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a few years now, where they've been running those broadcasts. Usually they're tape delayed and not run until a few days later. But it's been really good to see them come out with the schedule, and so that fans can kind of plan their time to set their DVRs or to actually watch those races, because they're a lot of fun to watch.
They are really cool to watch. And like I said, I mean, I don't think they get enough coverage. You see them once in a while as a post or headline. But to get the TV coverage, that way by the time they reach the Xfinity truck or move up into the higher series, they already have a fan base that know who they are.
Yes, indeed. And that's the whole idea here. This is kind of the feeder series into NASCAR's top three series. ARCA Racing Series is kind of like that, too. A lot of those drivers end up moving into NASCAR's top three as part of their career development and career path. Now, what's up for these two series is pretty exciting. We talked last Monday about Harrison Burton winning at Bristol Motor Speedway, the Zombie Auto 125. And up next is South Boston Speedway, and it's going to be a doubleheader. They're going to have a twin race there on May 6th. So the both of those races are going to be points-paying races. So there's going to be two winners that will be coming out of South Boston Speedway during that weekend. So that's pretty exciting to know up ahead of the time.
Yeah, and another good thing to know is if you're a fantasy racing player, if you think about it, when we talked last week on our preview, we said keep an eye on Harrison Burton at Bristol, and he ended up winning that race.
That's right. He did indeed. And one of the things that we had talked about is that he took the pole last year, but ended up with some engine problems that took him out of that race. And he even told us on Monday, Jay, that he had this race circled on his calendar for quite a while because he wanted to come back here and make up for what happened last year, and he certainly did that. Qualifying was rained out, but they were able to, because he was second in the series point standings, and the number one racer was not there, he was able to take over the pole once again, and then he led all but two laps of those first 70 laps of the race, and he really did a great job in winning that race, even though it was shortened because of rain.
You know, and we've had that happen at every level. I know fans tend to think of that as not really a win then, but you know, everybody's got the same opportunity. So if the rain comes, you know, you got to push it and get to the front. And he was out front the whole time. So
exactly right. And he put himself in that position. There's a lot that goes into a race before they start racing. And you know, he talked about testing at that track. He talked about, you know, the hard work that they put into preparing their car and everything else. So it was really to see that it was really good to see that hard work pay off for them. Now in the NASCAR Can-Am Pro Series West, they will be racing the following weekend, May 13th, and they'll be racing the Napa Auto Parts 150 at Spokane County Raceway up in Washington. So that's going to be a fun race to watch as well. You may recall that Todd Gilliland won three of the four races that started off the Can-Am Pro Series West. Chris Eggleston, a Can-Am West champion, won the very first race, but Todd Gilliland won the next three races, in addition to taking the pole in all four of those races. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens at Spokane on May the 13th for that series.
I heard they were reconsidering calling it the Gilliland Tour.
And, you know, he started out this way last year as well and ended up taking the West Championship. So Todd Gilliland is one of those drivers who's certainly talented, a driver for fans to keep their eyes on. He's going to be racing some of the Camping World Truck Series races this year, so we'll be able to see him in NASCAR's top three. He's a NASCAR Next driver already identified as one of those drivers that NASCAR has tagged as a future star of the sport. So certainly showing that he is worthy of all of those accolades.
And this year, a rule change was made where they can run for points in both the West and East series, which he is doing. He's only finishing top 10 on the three East races so far this year, but he is running for points in both series.
Yeah, some of the drivers did that last year. Noah Gregson did that last year. He raced both series and finished pretty well in both series. So that was really cool to watch. And then Todd Gilliland also did that. He ran both East and West races and did quite well in both series as well. So the one that I look forward to every year Jay, is the East-West Combo race that takes place at Iowa Speedway. And that's always a big deal as to which series is going to come out ahead. Now, I think when they get to Iowa, they've got to decide which series they're going to race in, and we'll see what happens because they have to declare if they're going to represent the East or the West when they race that combo race, and that's going to take place on July the 28th. And I really encourage fans, circle that one on your calendar. That is a big, big deal with the East meeting the West in this K&N Pro Series.
Yeah, I've been back home to Minnesota in that time frame, and I've never been able to overlap it so that I hit at the right moment because, yeah, I would absolutely love to go watch that.
Yeah, that's a fantastic race, and it's a big deal for the drivers. It's a big deal for the fans. And if you're looking for a racetrack to go to this year here in the Midwest, or even if you're coming from the East or the West Coast, we're talking about meeting in the middle at Iowa Speedway. And I would definitely consider putting that on your schedule right now for that July 28th date. So a lot going on in the K&N Pro Series East and the West, and a lot for fans to look forward to there. There's some tight battles going on in those series. When you look at the points in the K&N East, Harrison Burton took over the points in that series with his win at Bristol Motor Speedway this weekend. He now leads those points in the East. He has 129 points. The next driver is Hunter Bayes, and he has 114 points. So that seems like a little bit of a gap there between first and second. But take a look at where they are from fourth. It's really, really tight. It's Hunter Bayes in second at 114 points, Todd Gilliland in third at 113 points, 1 point difference, and just 2 points behind him is Ronnie Bassett Jr. in fourth. And then, of course, Ruben Garcia Jr. is fifth in those points. He's at 105 points. So that's a pretty tight points battle there, and I think we're going to see some jockeying for position when they head to South Boston in a few weeks, in another week or so.
And I think Hunter Bayes is going to be one that you're going to need to keep an eye on in the future as well.
Okay, so there you have it. In the K&N West standings, again, the points are pretty interesting. It's not quite as tight as it is in the East. You've got Todd Gilliland, who's leading those points. He's at 186 points. Chris Eggleston, former champions in the K&N Pro Series with the top two drivers here. He's at 173 points in second place. Will Rogers at 158, followed by Nicole Behar. Yay for the females being in the top five here. She has 147 points. And then Derek Krause is fifth at 146 points. But I have to mention that's where it starts getting really tight with Nicole Behar, Derek Krause, sixth place Garrett Archer at 145, and Blaine Perkins in seventh at 141. So between fourth and seventh, we're talking about 7 points or 6 points separating those drivers. So that's a very tight points battle. A little bit further down the list there, but tight points competition going on in that series as well.
And that's one of those, a one bad race or, you know, as Bassett didn't show up this weekend, that can change in a hurry.
Absolutely, and unfortunately that can happen with some of these drivers. Sponsorship is so tough to get. A lot of these drivers do have good sponsorship for the season, but still something to keep your eye on because a lot can happen. Definitely keep your eye on Todd Gilliland out there in the West, as well as the East, because as you mentioned, right now he's getting points in both of those series. So should be a lot of fun. And the points will continue beyond that race in Iowa. But the thing is, they've got to declare for that race which series they're going to be racing for. And that's for bragging rights.
You know, that's one that'll be interesting, say, for Todd Gilliland. If he's got a big enough lead in the West where he can take a hit, he might try and run his points for the East.
Yeah, that depends. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out when we get there. We've got a lot of time between now and then, July 28th. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out when we get to that point of the season, for sure. So anything else that you want to mention in the Can-Am Pro Series before we move on to ARCA Racing Series?
No, I think we pretty much covered that.
Okay. Now, the next race in the ARCA Racing Series is coming up this weekend, Salem Speedway. And again, we talked with Zane Smith, who raced the Can-Am Pro Series race at Bristol, but he's also racing this weekend for Venturini Motorsports in Salem. And I think he feels pretty good about his car that's provided by Venturini Motorsports. So look for Zane Smith in the number 55 car this weekend for that team. They are racing on Sunday, and that race is going to be televised on MAV TV. They will be racing a total length of 200 laps. And let me go back to my main page here. They are racing the Kentuckiana Ford Dealers 200 April 30th, that's Sunday, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. So this is a big race on the ARCA Racing Series schedule. It's a historic track for this series, and a lot of great drivers have won here. So a lot of drivers want to put their name on the list of winners at Salem Speedway in the ARCA Racing Series. So right now, looking at the point standings, Austin Terrio is in first place, followed by Kyle Weatherman, Dalton Sargent, Shane Lee, and Brett Holmes, rounding out the top five there. And if you think about the last race that was won, that was won by Chad Finley, the Music City 200 at Nashville, followed by Kyle Weatherman, Christian Eckes, Austin Terrio, and Mason Mingus. It's going to be fun to watch. As you look at the entry list for this weekend, Jay, what drivers do you think are the drivers for fans to keep their eyes on this weekend?
Well, for one, that when you're talking about the points, I want to point out that so far, again, there's only been two races, but sponsorship and whatnot comes into play. Only 15 drivers have entered into both races. Of those 15, three are not entered into this weekend, but we're going to have five that are making their first race. As you mentioned, Zane Smith, Kimmel is another one that this will be his first race of the season. So the points on that will fluctuate. Again, unfortunately, it's, like you said, due to sponsorship and having the money to run every week. But
yes.
the two I like are Dalton Sargent. I watched him come through the K&N Pro Series, and he moved up into ARCA. And Kyle Weatherman, I mean, he's got one career win, but he is always right there in the top five, if not the top ten.
And those are two really good picks, because when you think about previous champions in the ARCA Racing Series, Mason Mitchell, the owner of Mason Mitchell Motorsports, is a previous champion there. He's always put out good equipment for his drivers, and he gets really good drivers in his cars. And Cunningham Motorsports won last season with Chase Briscoe. So, again, These are really great cars that these guys are driving, and you know, they're following in some big footsteps here with both of those teams. You mentioned Will Kimmel. Will Kimmel is definitely a driver to watch this weekend. This is his home track at Salem Speedway. We've had him on the show a few times. He loves racing there. His family has a storied history at that track, so a win there for him would be a really big deal as well. But as you mentioned, he's not been racing the entire season this year, so this would be a one-off race for him at this point.
Well, their family has a history throughout all of ARCA racing, but
as you said,
just at that speedway, Frank Kimmel leads with 9 wins at that track.
That's a really big deal. A couple other drivers that I'm going to kind of point out to kind of keep your eye on this weekend. MDN Motorsports won the K&N Pro Series at Bristol today. In the ARCA Racing Series, they're going to have Travis Miller behind the wheel of their car in the number 28. So they've got some momentum going within that organization, and I'm sure they'd like to make it a win in the ARCA Racing Series as well. Just keep an eye on them. Rafael Lessard has been doing really well in the super late models, and he's racing this weekend again for Venturini Motorsports in the number 25 car. Rafael Lessard has been racing with David Gilliland Racing in the super late models, and he's been doing really, really well there. So I'd say it's going to be interesting to see what he does this weekend in an ARCA car. Riley Herbst comes from Las Vegas, Nevada. He normally races out in the West, so I'm happy to see him coming into the ARCA Racing Series at Salem this weekend. His team owner is Coy Gibbs. That's part of the Joe Gibbs Racing organization. So his sponsor is the NOS Energy. You know, that's a familiar name at Joe Gibbs Racing. So he'll be racing the number 18 car this weekend. And then one more driver that I'm going to mention is Christian Eckes, another driver who's racing for Venturini Motorsports. He's been doing well in super late models, and he'll be in the number 15 this weekend, again, with Venturini Motorsports.
And that's another one that you said, a team that has been a staple in the ARCA series, Venturini team.
Absolutely. Another driver, I got to mention him, we talked to him on Monday night, is Zane Smith. He's racing the number 55 this weekend with Venturini. So a couple of drivers that haven't been announced yet, Jay, are the number 88 for Mason Mitchell Motorsports and the number 6 for JW Motorsports. So keep your eyes out for an announcement coming out there soon. I haven't seen it. Have you seen any news on those?
I do not. I still have those listed as to be announced.
Okay, so something for fans to keep their eyes on. Another driver I'm going to bring up, Gus Dean. He's with Wintron Racing, and he'll be racing the number 32 car this weekend at Salem Motor Speedway.
I was going to mention Gus Dean. He's not having the type of year that he has in the past. Again, he's normally a top 10, top 5 driver. He's doesn't have any top 10s this year yet, but I think that'll change within another race or two.
I think so, too. And again, another driver, Brett Holmes, we had him on early in the season. He'll be racing the number 23 car this weekend with Brett Holmes Racing. And I know he's looking to have a good finish this weekend as well.
Now, as you mentioned, he's sitting 5th in points, so with 1 top 10.
Absolutely. And he told us he's contending for a championship this year. He has it in his heart that that's what he wants to do. So I look for him to be some strong competition at Salem Speedway this weekend in the Kentuckiana Ford Dealers ARCA 200.
Well,
okay,
I mean,
and I'm
I
looking
hope he
at
does
the
good.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Okay. You know, you mentioned Brett Holmes contending for the championship. Right now, again, I know it's early, but the top three, Austin Theriault, Kyle Weatherman, and Dalton Sargeant. I mean, Shane Lee is not real far off, but Brett Holmes already has quite the gap back of 85 points, and that's just through two races. So he's got his work cut out for him as those top three, four guys are running top fives every week.
Yes, indeed. So, you know, I really like Dalton Sargeant as well. We've had him on the show several times. And Dalton is a good, tough racer. I really like his racing style. And I think he's definitely a driver that I think to keep your eye on this weekend. Now, I'm looking at the weather report this week for this weekend. And so they're saying rain overnight and in the afternoon, but 7% chance of rain. So that's not a very high percent, but the humidity is going to be 70%. So that could be a factor this weekend, because they're saying temps are going to be in the 80s during that race. But with a 70% humidity factor, that could be something that drivers are going to have to deal with this weekend at Salem.
Man, that makes it rough on a driver, let me tell you.
Yes, indeed. So I'm sure a lot of these drivers are saying hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. They are definitely looking to do what they can. Now, I want to point out, too, that at ArcaRacing.com, they have the driver spotlight on Thomas Prater this week. So if you haven't checked that out, go ahead and head over to ArcaRacing.com and check that out before the race. Anything? Who's your race pick for this weekend?
Oh, I'm going to have to go with Dalton Sargeant.
I think Dalton Sargeant is a really good pick for Salem Speedway. And I go through this list, and there's so many great drivers that I'd love to pick. Will Kimmel is a sentimental favorite to win at that track, without a doubt. So, you know, part of me wants to pick him. But let's see here. I think it's going to be a tight race, without a doubt, and there's going to be a lot of drivers going for that win. I'm going to say Zane Smith, because Zane Smith had a lot of confidence about his car going into the ARCA Racing Series this weekend. So I'm going to put it out there for Venturini Motorsports, the number 55 of Zane Smith. But I like Dalton Sargeant.
I was going to say, and Zane Smith on the roll coming off that second-place finish, and again, you know, being in a Venturini car, you can't discount him, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Venturini's got a lot of experience out there at Salem Speedway. So really looking forward to that race. And again, if you're looking for an event to go to this weekend, get out there to Salem Speedway in Salem, Indiana. The ARCA Racing Series puts on a great show. And Salem Speedway, again, is one of those historic tracks in the Midwest here that fans want to be a part of. So check it out and be a part of it. The NASCAR home tracks need your support. And if you're a fan of racing, you definitely want to get out there to a home track sometime soon and throughout this season.
You know, Sharon, I was looking back at last year's race results. Dalton Sargeant was third. Kyle Weatherman was fourth. The two that finished in front of him have moved on, because Christopher Bell won it, followed by Justin Haley. So those were your top two that are running again this year that, from that race.
That is an excellent point. I keep looking at Kyle Weatherman's name here, and I agree with you. We did not focus on him very much, but Kyle Weatherman in a Mason Mitchell Motorsports car is definitely a driver to watch. He's driving the number 78, which is the car that Mason Mitchell drove when he was racing in that series. Mason Mitchell is very involved with his team, and I know he's talking with Kyle Weatherman, and Kyle is downloading as much information as he can get from Mason, and I know he'd love to get a good finish this weekend as well. So that is a great pick as well if you're looking for your fantasy team picks for this weekend. And ARCA Racing does have a fantasy league that you can be a part of every week at arcaracing.com. So check that out too. There's a link there. If you click on the information for the Kentuckiana Ford Dealers ARCA 200, you'll see the link for the Fantasy League, and you can make your picks right there. So with that,
and give you a quick stat line there on Kyle Weatherman, and he's only 19
sure.
years old, has 5 years of experience in the ARCA series. Total
yep.
starts, he has 45, 23 of those are five finishes. That's like 52% in the top five. Again, he only has the one career win, but I said he's there top five. 34 of those have been top tens. Now you're talking 80-some
yes.
percent.
That's outstanding. And as I mentioned before, don't think that we're understating him. We are very aware of how great Kyle Weatherman is. And he's definitely up there on the number of the drivers to keep your eye on this weekend. So I hope that gives fans a lot to look forward to this weekend for that race. But it's time for us to move on, Jay. We're going to move on to the next on our list here. And that, of course, is the Camping World Truck Series news and notes. That we have here. They are not racing this weekend. They won't be racing again, as we mentioned last week, until May 12th, when they'll be racing at Kansas Speedway in the Toyota Tundra 250. So keep your eyes open for that. It's less than a month away, but these drivers are always looking forward to getting back behind the wheel. I wish there wasn't so much of a break for these Camping World Truck Series drivers in the start of their season, because it's like they stop, they start, they stop, they start, they stop, and then they start again, and then it's full blown after that. But there's a lot of young guns that have made the jump from the Camping World Truck Series into NASCAR's Xfinity and Camping World and Cup Series. And some of those drivers include drivers like Eric Jones, Darrell Wallace Jr., William Byron, Brandon Jones, Tyler Reddick, Daniel Hemric, who just won the Dash for Cash in the Xfinity Series, his best finish with the top five there. This year, in 2017, the Xfinity Series has four Sunoco Rookie of the Year candidates who drove full-time last season, and that includes William Byron, Daniel Hemric, Cole Custer, and Spencer Gallagher. And there's really some great information that we have here on those four drivers. And why don't you pick one to talk about, Jay, and then I'll go on with the next.
All right. Well, William Byron obviously moving into Junior Motorsports, being signed by Hendrick, is currently second
mm-hmm.
in the Xfinity Series point standings, and again is showing some real talent moving into that series.
He really has. William Byron has been very impressive in the Camping World Truck Series. I know I made a mistake a few weeks ago. I said that he won that Camping World Truck Series championship. He was expected to win that championship without a doubt. But Johnny Sauter came on very strong at the end of that season, and he won that Camping World Truck Series title last season. So Byron really would like to have a good showing in the Xfinity Series, I think, this year. But the point here is that he's coming up from that Camping World Truck Series into the Xfinity Series and doing very, very well with his second-place finish. So that's pretty cool.
When he dominated as a rookie, he set the new record with 6 wins. And had we been under the format we're under this year with the stage racing and the championship points carrying over throughout this season, he would have won that because his final win was at Homestead, but he wasn't one of the eligible final four.
Yes, yes. Isn't that amazing? So, you know, this new format that NASCAR has put into place does impact the who's who of racing in these series. Now, another driver that we mentioned here, Daniel Hemric, he won the Dash for Cash last week at Bristol Motor Speedway, and we'll talk about this later, but, you know, Richmond is another Dash for Cash track, and Hemric is going to be racing there this weekend, but he did so well in the Camping World Truck Series last year, and that's why he's racing for Richard Childress Motorsport, or Richard Childress Racing in Xfinity this season.
You know, I think that was originally supposed to be a part-time deal, but he managed to get the sponsorship cleared up for a full-time deal. And obviously with him doing as well as he is, I'm sure that he's going to make a run for that championship.
Yes, indeed. He's definitely a driver to watch. He was a driver to watch last season. He's a driver to watch this season as well. So keep your eye on Daniel Hemric. On a side note, a lot of you will remember Kenzie Ruston. She was a K&N Pro Series driver, and Daniel Hemric is married to Kenzie Ruston. So that's just a little tidbit there for fans that are kind of familiar with who Kenzie Ruston is. Now, another driver that we've been following since his K&N Pro Series day is Cole Custer. And there's some interesting info here about Cole Custer, Jay.
Right now, if the playoffs were to begin, he is the last driver in the 12th position. Again, the Xfinity Series takes the top 12 into their playoffs. He's had 1 top 5 and 2 top 10s in the 7 starts. And if it weren't for a couple of accidents, if you will, I think he'd be a little bit higher even.
Absolutely, absolutely. Cole Custer is a great driver. He's a very methodical thinker, so it's not often that he rashly makes a move in racing. And he is going to be up front in just a matter of time. And I know he'd love to have a great finish out at Richmond this weekend. But again, he's one of those drivers who came up from the Camping World Truck Series. He raced with JR Motorsports last year, and it's really good to see him racing in the Xfinity Series this season.
Well, and he's already pretty famous for his battle last year in Canadian Motorsports Park up there in Canada between him and John Hunter Nemechek. I think that one's going to live on for a while. That was a classic finish to that race, and the activities afterwards certainly made a highlight reel.
Yes, and what is it they say? Drivers never forget when those things happen. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Cole Custer and John Hunter Nemechek moving forward. Another driver coming up from the Camping World Truck Series. He had a slow start to his season. Spencer Gallagher has straightened it out by scoring 4 consecutive finishes of 19th or better. He's currently 17th in the Xfinity Series point standings. Not the start that he wanted in that series, but Spencer Gallagher was one of those drivers who was always contending and racing to be up front in the Camping World Truck Series last season.
Well, and as we talked about last week, by him leaving his own team there, GMS, you know, that opened up a spot there, and all of those trucks have been battling, you know, in the top five for races and in the points standings. So, you know, he's got the talent, and he opted to leave a good team to pursue this with the Xfinity. So he's a determined individual.
Yeah. The G in GMS stands for Gallagher, so... That is kind of interesting news that you're sharing there, because that's a big move for him. But it's not unheard of. So definitely that's something for fans to keep their eyes on moving forward to see what happens there. It's very clear by what we were just talking about here that the Camping World Truck Series is certainly a huge talent pool for both the Monster Energy Cup Series as well as the Xfinity Series. 9 Sunoco rookies in this year's Camping World Truck Series class expect to make that jump probably next season as well. So definitely, I think some of the best racing we see is in the Camping World Truck Series. And with a new pool of rookies racing in that series, along with the veterans, Matt Crafton, Timothy Peters, Johnny Sauter, those are the top three that kind of jump out at me right now. But it's a nice mix of veterans and new drivers. And you've got other drivers that are returning for a second season, like Ben Rhodes. Definitely something for fans to keep their eyes on in that Camping World Truck Series. These are the future stars in Xfinity and Cup Series.
That's right. We gotta have some drivers to step up and take over the role as the face of NASCAR, being that, again, we'll talk about we're losing one of them.
Yes, we'll talk about that in our 9:30 half hour. So just a little tease there. Yes, we are talking about Dale Earnhardt Jr. tonight. Let's talk about the owner standings, because a little bit of an update there. We've been talking about GMS and Thor Sport Racing being two of the top teams in that series. But Kyle Busch Motorsports is really battling out for those owner's points this season as well.
Yeah, they 4 points behind the GMS of number 21, or Johnny Sauter, Christopher Bell, and then number four in the owner standings. And Kyle Busch is going for his fifth consecutive and sixth all-time owner's championship in the Camping World Truck Series. The team broke the series record in 2015 when it won its third consecutive and fourth overall championship.
Yeah, it's amazing what Kyle Busch Motorsports has been able to do, especially in that Camping World Truck Series. They are always contenders, and they've got a great leader in Kyle Busch, and he loves working with these new guys that are coming up through these feeder series and helping them to be successful. And two great examples of that is Daniel Suarez and Eric Jones that are doing very, very well. I kind of wish Daniel hadn't jumped up into the Cup Series as quickly as he did, but what I do know about Daniel is he is a student of this sport, and I know that these first races of this season, he is definitely like a sponge out there soaking it all up, and it won't be long before we'll be seeing him make a big breakthrough in that Cup Series as well.
And what one you left off there, again, he moved over to Hendrick. He didn't stay in the Toyota family, but William Byron came from that Kyle Busch team as well.
And absolutely. You're absolutely right.
That's something, the article that's up there on fanforracing.com that I wrote about Kyle Busch is, you know, fans see certain things as his incident with Joey Logano, and they take get a bad picture of him. The things he does outside of driving for the Cup team, like this, he puts a lot of time in with these young drivers, and all of them have been quoted as saying, you know, when they need something, Kyle is there, and Kyle, you know, wants to help them and shares information and works with them. You know, he's not just there
Absolutely.
In the name, that he owns it.
That's right. You're right. He's not just a team owner. He's out there working with those drivers and helping them to be successful in this sport. He knows that these guys are the future of NASCAR. So he's not on the sidelines. He's there working with each and every one of these drivers. But there's a lot to be said for GMS Racing as well. I mean, they've come a long way in such a short period of time, and they put out some really successful drivers at two. And keep in mind, Johnny Sauter was with GMS Racing when he won the championship last season. So a lot to be said for GMS Racing as well here.
Yeah, and that's the team that we hadn't talked about. The third contending team is Thor Motorsports. They too,
Thor
with Matt Crafton, have been. I'm sorry, yep, Thor Motorsports. They too have been there, you know, battling for prior to Kyle Busch's teams taking over. You know, it was Matt Crafton that was winning.
That's right. So, you know, you never know. Thor Sport has some really great drivers. So, you know, they could be jumping in there. They could be jumping into the mix very well. So definitely something for fans to keep their eyes on. And just some news and notes that we wanted to share with all of you with them taking an off week this weekend. Now we want to get into the NASCAR Xfinity Series because they.
Sharon,
yeah, go ahead.
I got to get a quick question for you. With you mentioned Soares, you know, not wanting to see him move up. There's the possibility of William Byron moving up. Again, that hasn't been determined yet. What do you think as far as that of moving him up too early? If you go back to Joey Logano when Joe Gibbs brought him up at that young age.
Yeah, I just think it makes it a little bit harder for these guys to make that move. I think Daniel Suarez is certainly up to the task, but he's a good example of it taking time for these drivers to make that adjustment. These races in the Cup Series are so much longer, and that is part of being the premier, the elite team of NASCAR's top three series, is that it's more about the endurance. Can you endure the length of these races? And that's why I'm one of the few people that are not necessarily in favor of reducing the laps in the top tier here in the Cup Series. I think where they have made some of those adjustments, I don't think it's hurt the racing, but I do think that the stage racing has made these longer races maybe a lot more interesting. And I do think there's a reason why these races are longer, and it's because these drivers are the top of their game and are the elite drivers in the sport. And the reason they're elite is because they're able to endure the length of these races. So that's a big jump for these drivers because the Xfinity Series races aren't as long as those Cup Series races, and they don't need as much stamina. So, again, it's a big adjustment for these drivers to make that jump into the Cup Series for that reason. And I don't think we should make it easier for them. The reason they are elite drivers is because it's not easy to be in that top tier level. So I think it's a good idea to kind of hold him back and let him really get his feet grounded in that Xfinity Series before moving him up. He's doing really good in the Xfinity Series, and I'd say if he gets the championship, that's great. Let him go back and get a second championship because he's a young guy yet. He's still pretty young, and I'm not in favor of pushing him up too soon.
So on the counterpoint to that, then, you have Eric Jones, who did 1 year in the trucks, won the championship. 1 year in the Xfinity. Again, didn't quite get that championship. He was in contention, but lost out to Daniel Suarez in the last race. And he's succeeding there with Furniture Row adding a second car, no less.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But at the same time, you know, it's a counterpoint. Eric Jones did very, very well. Maybe William Byron will do well. But keep in mind, Eric Jones is a little bit older than William Byron in making that jump as well. Alex Bowman made that jump into the Sprint Cup Series It was Sprint Cup when he did that and struggled. He wasn't in top-tier equipment. If I'm looking for a replacement, and we'll talk about this later, just keep the name Alex Bowman out there as well. But I think he's an example of somebody who might have been moved up too soon, maybe in subpar equipment. But he's a talented driver. And definitely, you know, we need to kind of move on. We've only got 10 minutes now to talk about the Xfinity Series. So we really got to move on here to try to get as much as we can in for the Xfinity Series. And, you know, we missed some information on the Camping World Truck Series as well. So look for that in our news and notes that will be put out tomorrow for that series. But let's talk Xfinity Series. Looking back, again, I'm going to put this in the preview or maybe even just a separate article, but Dale Jr. has a very strong history in the Xfinity Series. So we're not going to go into all of that tonight because we've totally run out of time here. But look for that in the preview that will come out on Saturday. Elliott Sadler, though, has the points lead right now over his teammate, and we've been talking about William Byron. How do you think that's going to end up at when we finish at Richmond this weekend?
Well, with Sadler being veteran, and it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be a good playoff this year in the Xfinity. I know you were saying the trucks being one of the most exciting. The Xfinity could be real good. You'll have, I believe, all three junior motorsports cars, because Elliott Sadler and Justin Allgaier already having the win and locked in, Elliott Sadler leading the points. So I think three of your 12 are going to be junior motorsports.
And that's very possible. Sadler right now is on a six-race streak of finishing inside the top 10, and that dates back already all the way back to the second race of the season at Atlanta. In seven starts this season, Sadler's posted three top fives and an average finish of ninth. That's impressive. And, you know, Richmond is a track that Sadler might consider a home track for him. He's from that Virginia area. And in Sadler's last 12 starts at that track, he's posted nine top 10 finishes. So I don't think it's definitely within the realm of logic here that he'll come home with a top 10 again this weekend, if not a win.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he's got one of the better records there, as you said. The one that moves into the top five now is Richard Childress and Daniel Hemric, who picked up the Dash for Cash. Again, you said Richmond being the second Dash for Cash race. Justin Allgaier got
third.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right, third. They've got to. Justin Allgaier getting the win at Phoenix, which was the first race of the Dash for Cash. And then Daniel Hemric picking up the second one there at Bristol. Now, Hemric, if he picks up another one, doesn't have to win a race. The two Dash for Cash wins, even if you don't win the race, is the same as a race win and would lock him into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a great caveat to the Dash for Cash. All they have to do is win two of those Dash for Cash races. And actually, Justin Allgaier is already qualified because he has a win. But Daniel Hemric, if he gets a second win, he's going to be in those playoffs for the Xfinity Series. So that's pretty cool. And seven starts this season. He's posted one top five. That was last week. But he also has three top tens and an average finish of 15.4. So it's going to be fun to see what Daniel Hemric does this weekend. I know he wants to get, you know, go for that Dash for Cash second victory.
It will be his first start, though, at Richmond.
Yes, so that's going to be challenging. It's a short track, but it's a very fast short track, and it takes a little bit of finesse to do well at Richmond International Raceway. Now, I want to get into Kyle Benjamin. He's making his series debut with Joe Gibbs Racing this weekend. We've had Kyle Benjamin on several times, and I'll tell you, he's done really well in the K&N Pro Series. He's done really well in the ARCA Racing Series. Now he's jumping up to make it his debut in the Xfinity Series with Joe Gibbs Racing. He's going to be in the number 20 with a crew chief of Chris Gabehart, who's helped a lot of these Joe Gibbs Racing drivers do well in that car in the Xfinity Series. I think we've got a lot to look forward to seeing what Kyle Benjamin does this weekend at Richmond.
And again, he's one of our future stars. He was the youngest pole winner in the ARCA Series history at 15 years old at Toledo in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And he became the series' youngest winner at Madison International Speedway that same year.
Exactly right. And he also raced in the K&N Pro Series East, where over 3 years he posted 5 wins, 14 top fives, 19 top tens. He finished a career best second in the championship points in 2016, just last year. So he's going to be racing with Joe Gibbs not just at Richmond this weekend. He'll also be racing at Pocono in June, at Iowa Speedway in July, and at Kentucky Speedway in September. So this won't be the last time we see Kyle Benjamin in an Xfinity Series car this year.
When talking about him and Hemric both, a total of 79 NASCAR Xfinity Series or drivers in series history have made their series debut at Richmond. 6 of those are competing this weekend: Ryan Blaney, Cole Custer, Austin Dillon, Brandon Brown, Daniel Suarez, and Ryan Reed. So it can be done.
Yes, it's not. It can be done. And Kyle Benjamin's a good driver. He's got a lot of talent, so definitely a possibility for him. Now, another thing for fans to be aware of, there's a lot of Virginia natives racing this weekend in this Xfinity Series race. You've got Elliott Sadler. I mentioned that earlier. He's from Emporia. Then there's also the King Autosports driver, Brandon Brown from Woodbridge. You've got Brandon Godovic from Quinn Hoff. They're both from Wires Cave. So that's kind of interesting as well. So keep your eye on those drivers. All of these drivers want nothing more than to have a good showing in front of their hometown crowd, where they've got a lot of family and friends in attendance. So that makes them drivers to keep an eye on this weekend for sure.
Absolutely. And you also want to watch the playoff bubble. Dakota Armstrong is 11th in points, and as we mentioned earlier, Cole Custer sits in 12th following the 7th race at Bristol. Armstrong's only 11 points ahead, and Custer is only 2 points ahead of 13th place Brandon Jones. RCR's Jones has made up 2 starts at Richmond with a 19.0 average finish.
Yeah, and these guys are on the bubble. They want to make up some ground. They want to get off that bubble and into the playoffs. And points, as we know, can make a difference for the guys at this area of the point standing. So they're definitely out there racing to move up that ladder. Another thing to keep an eye on this weekend: there will be some Monster Energy guys, some of the Cup guys that will be competing this weekend. That includes Austin Dillon, Ty Dillon, Daniel Suarez, Ryan Blaney, and Kyle Larson. Those guys are all capable of winning this weekend as well.
That's right, and because they have less than 5 years full-time at Monster Energy Cup level experience, they are still eligible to race in the Dash for Cash races. Otherwise, you're not allowed to race in the Dash for Cash as a full-time Cup driver.
Right. Now, they can't win the Dash for Cash because they're not running for points, but they are eligible, as you mentioned, to be able to race the race. But there is the probability of a new Richmond winner is pretty high. Of the 42 drivers entered this weekend, only one is a former winner, and that's Morgan Shepherd, who won on September 10th, 1983. If Sheppard makes the race, the chances for a new winner are at 97.5%. If he doesn't, then it's going to go up to 100% chance that we'll have a new winner at RIR this weekend. So that's kind of an interesting stat as well.
I would not have known that.
It's like I say, it's kind of an interesting stat to throw out there for fans to be aware of. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, and as guys do do good and they move up, they only do 1 or 2 years in the Xfinity. So I guess having a repeat winner is a lot tougher.
Okay.
Overall,
okay,
in the
now,
points.
I'm going to close it out here, Jay, because I want to make sure
we've
got time to talk about Dale Jr. and our Monster Energy Cup Series. So, again, I'm going to advise listeners, we will put out the Xfinity Series preview on Saturday, so you'll be able to catch up on some of the things that we didn't get a chance to talk about here in the Xfinity Series in that preview that we put out on Saturday. So definitely keep a lookout for that. Because there's some other great information here on that. Let's go on and talk here about Dale Jr.'s announcement this week. That was huge, huge news. Anytime Dale Jr. has a press conference, you know it's going to be big news. And it was indeed big news that he's retiring. We've heard a lot of statements from a lot of people about their thoughts about Dale Jr.'s contributions within NASCAR. But as I mentioned earlier, I do have some audio here from NASCAR's Executive Vice President and Chief Racing Development Officer, Steve O'Donnell. I'm going to go ahead and play that, and then, Jay, you and I will talk on the other side of this. He's fielding questions from the media. Some of those questions are a little hard to hear, but you'll be able to hear Steve O'Donnell's response, and that's the important part that you want to hear anyway. So I'm going to go ahead and play that now. It's just it's a little more than 5.5 minutes, so let's go ahead and play that now.
Most people think he'll be 15 times most popular driver. How does the sport, how's the sport in a position to handle losing a driver like that on the track?
Well, it's certainly something, you know, first of all, I applaud Dale Jr. today and the way he handled himself, because, you know, what you saw right there was pure class. That was pure Dale Jr. For those folks who may be getting exposed to him for the first time outside of the sport, you know, continue to represent the sport in a tremendous fashion. And for us, you know, you certainly never want to lose a superstar, but, you know, Dale Jr.'s not going away, as you heard. He'll be heavily involved in the sport, and we've done a lot of things, Bob, I think, to lead up to this in terms of our NASCAR Next program, the developmental programs we have. You know, Dale Jr. himself is an Xfinity Series owner, developing that young talent. So, you know, the future's bright with a lot of the young stars coming up in the sport.
You have the talent with a lot of your young drivers, but the personality is something that's a whole different story in a lot of ways, because people have to be on TV shows and all this stuff. How do you develop those personalities out of these young guys?
Well, I think it's something that evolves, Jeff. You know, that's you getting to know them a little bit more, them being in victory lane more, right? People like winners. And so, you know, you heard Dale Jr. talk about that too, those moments. We've taken some steps in the Xfinity Series to, you know, move out some of the Cup drivers. The reason for that is, you know, we want drivers exposed to winning. They're interviewed more, right? People get to see their personalities. Same thing as we move to the Monster Energy Series. You know, you're seeing a lot of those drivers really knock on the door, the Blaneys, Eric Jones, a lot of those folks. So, you know, as they win and compete for top fives and are exposed more, we have no doubt that, you know, people will see their personalities, and then it'll be up to them as well to take those personalities outside the sport also.
At what point in the last month did you find out that you're planning on retiring?
I talked to Dale Jr. last night, so this was pretty close to the vest. I know he's talked to Mike Helton, but yeah, I talked to Dale last night.
What were your thoughts when you heard it?
I wasn't surprised. I think that you know, Dale Jr. going out on his own terms, I applaud him for that. You know, I think we've had a good, really good relationship, being able to, you know, exchange a lot of text messages about where things are going. So I was proud of him for being able to make that decision, being able to go out on his terms and then continue throughout this year. And also know and talking to him that, you know, he wants to be a part of this sport going forward, and that's big for us.
Does it bother you when people say, well, he's leaving, so that means NASCAR is going to suffer and fail or something? And you know, people who don't know NASCAR might not know the answer to that. You're obviously, you know, deep within it. What are your thoughts?
No, I think it's a fair question. I think one of the ways it was posed today was a little much, candidly. But I think when you look at it, you know, it's cyclical in any sport, right? Stars come and go. Certainly bigger personalities come and go that are part of sports. So, you know, for us, you know, we look at the future and some of the drivers that are coming up, as Jeff said, you know, they've got to win. But when you talk to some of these guys, their personalities and where they want to take the sport, I think is really exciting and encouraging.
I mean, ISC said they claim that not having Dale Jr. and Jeff Gordon on the track has impacted attendance. I mean, how do you feel like you're in kind of in a dire situation to be able to get fans back now?
No,
in the sense of
no. I'm encouraged about the future of the sport. I think Dale Jr. can actually help us as we look at some of the personalities in the sport and believe the sport's going to be very healthy.
Steve, kind of along those lines, you've seen, even though people like Jeff Gordon and Jeff Burton have taken other jobs, you guys have still relied on them on input in making changes to the sport. Do you expect the same or a greater role with Dale Jr. in the future?
I'd expect the same. I think Dale Jr. does that on his own. You know, he's not hesitant to send you a message, you know, every day on here's what I thought about the race or here's some ideas you all may need to explore. And that's one of the things that's been great about him is he cares about the long-term health of the sport. And I think the other drivers that he's interacted with, especially the younger drivers, see that and know that that's important going forward.
What is it about Dale Jr.'s personality when he can sort of give feedback? I mean, he can be critical of NASCAR at times where if another driver did that, it might come off in a different way. It seems to be something different about Jr. when he can say that. It's not as offensive,
you know? Yeah, no, I think it's a fair question. My take, Jeff, is you always, at least I always felt like you're getting the real Dale Jr. And so when he's mad, you know he's mad, and it's not a front. When he's happy about something, you know that as well. So I always felt with Dale Jr., and I told him that, you know, last night, is he's just genuine. And what I like about that is you can always disagree with someone and be mad at someone, but you can respect their opinion. And I've always done that with Dale Jr., and I think he's got that from everybody in the industry.
One more, guys. We've got to run.
How far can NASCAR go when it comes to developing the up-and-coming stars? I mean, a lot of guys that we just put in front of the microphone and give media time may not have the personality, might have not the success on the track. How far can you guys go in growing?
Yeah, no, we've got a whole group dedicated to that. You know, Patrick Rogers leads that group for us and works closely, especially with a lot of the young drivers. If you would have said 10 years ago, you know, we didn't have that initiative in place. And so a lot of the things and steps we've taken with the NASCAR Next program, looking at the Xfinity Series, how we want drivers to come up through the system, that's all been a key part. And then, you know, with our office in L.A. and putting opportunities out there, you've seen Ryan Blaney, Bubba Wallace, and those folks, you know, moving around in different entertainment platforms. That's important for us to be able to work together. But it's also on the drivers. And they've got to want to do some of these things outside of the sport to help grow the sport as well.
Okay, I thought those were some great comments from Steve O'Donnell, and let's get your thoughts about those comments, Jay.
Well, for one, you know, in the position they're in, they have to be political about it, but it was truly heartfelt, you know, how he feels. I think people kind of get the impression that maybe, yeah, he's saying it as a, you know, towing the company line, but I feel like it was truly heartfelt.
Okay, was there anything specific that he said that kind of stood out to you?
I'm sorry, that what?
Was there anything specific that he said that stood out to you?
Not really. Again, like I said, it's, I don't know how to say it.
Oh, okay. Well, for me, I really kind of felt like he brought up some really great points with regard to Dale Earnhardt Jr. He's the most popular driver in NASCAR, and one of the questions was, are there any concerns with him leaving the sport? And I thought his answer was really, really good, because Dale Earnhardt Jr. may be leaving from behind the wheel of the car, but he's still going to be involved within this sport. And I thought Steve O'Donnell did a good job of illustrating that. He's still a team owner in the Xfinity Series, and I think he still has a lot of contributions to make within this sport, but maybe from a different perspective. And we've already seen Dale Jr. be involved with, you know, like the Drivers Council or, you know, with giving his opinions. And that was the other thing that kind of stood out to me, that he really appreciated the fact that we know where Dale Jr. stands on things. When he's happy, we know he's happy. When he's upset, we know he's upset, but he always handles himself with a lot of class and usually does a pretty good job of representing the sport. And that's probably one of the reasons he's one of the most popular drivers of this sport.
And that's something that I think the fans are going to have to wait and see. You know, having been on social media, a lot of them are calling saying that, you know, they're done with NASCAR because Junior's leaving. And that's what I'm saying, you know, Mr. O'Donnell's statement, people are viewing as, oh, he's just saying that because that's the company's answer. But it's going to take that time of seeing Dale Jr. still being involved, like you said, you know, before the fans will accept that, I guess.
I think so. And it's kind of a little bit disappointing to hear fans saying that because Dale Jr. Is still a very, very huge part of this sport. And one of the things that I think he's contributed so much to is to the awareness of the impact of concussions on a person's health. And I think that he took that time out. He's an advocate for that concussion awareness. And I think there's still a lot he can do in that regard that will impact not just the sport of NASCAR, but maybe all sports that have that as a concern and an issue as a part of their field. And as a team owner, we were talking about Kyle Busch as a team owner and what he's done to help drivers advance within NASCAR. I see Dale Earnhardt Jr. maybe doing the same sort of thing, maybe a little bit differently than Kyle Busch, but maybe doing the same sort of thing in giving drivers an opportunity. I remember him talking about Brad Keselowski when he first saw Brad Keselowski race and how impressed he was, so impressed that he gave him an opportunity. He's the first driver he hired into JR Motorsports or Junior Motorsports. So I see Dale Earnhardt Jr., and if you're a fan of Dale Earnhardt Jr., you're going to miss a whole new chapter of the Dale Earnhardt Jr. story if you bow out of NASCAR at this point and you miss all of that. I think it's a mistake for fans to leave the sport because Dale Earnhardt Jr. is not leaving the sport of NASCAR at all.
I agree. You know, and we went through it. I think right now it's kind of the whole operation of the fact that we're losing so many of the top guys now. Like Jeff Gordon's still involved. He's in the booth doing television.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Stewart is still around with Stewart Haas Racing. Again, he's at the track still on Sundays, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you were talking about a few things there. I was hoping you wouldn't go on real far. My list of articles coming up, the Junior Motorsports
was
one of them.
We'll do that at the end. Okay. I want to keep it focused on Dale Earnhardt Jr. at this point. Is there any other points of his retirement that were kind of mentioned that kind of stood out to you? Maybe not in Steve O'Donnell's comments, but maybe in other comments that you've seen on social media or in some of the articles from some other organizations.
Just the fact that, again, we hate to lose a driver. It's better that we lose them in this way where it's their choice and they're stepping away, you know, in good health. You know, again, Carl Edwards was another one, but that it's his decision. He's not being made to.
Mm-hmm.
He's not being forced out. It's his decision to step away and move on to that next chapter of his life. But the sport will survive, and it will be with him. Again, he is going to be around. He's not walking away from the sport. He is walking away from driving full-time in the Cup Series.
Absolutely. And again, I think there's a whole lot more to the Dale Earnhardt Jr. story. He got married to Amy Raymond on New Year's Eve. I think, you know, it's a possibility that they want to start a family, and he wants to be more involved with that by being a team owner versus, you know, being, you know, behind the wheel every week of a car. And that's a feel-good part of the story as well. I think all of us can acknowledge that Amy Raymond has had a very positive impact on Dale Earnhardt Jr. And helping him feel more comfortable in his own skin. He's a much more confident person, I think. Not that he wasn't confident before, but I think most of us can acknowledge he was maybe a little more introverted before, and he's not like that anymore. And to illustrate that is his demeanor just coming out with this announcement. You know, he didn't have Rick Hendrick by his side. He was out there front and center by himself and feeling very comfortable in making this announcement that it was on his own terms, exactly the way he wanted it. So I thought it was great, and I'm looking forward to the next chapter of Dale Jr.'s story, and I think there's going to be a lot more story to tell.
And don't forget, this is at the end of the year. We're only on race 7. There's still a lot to go yet this year.
Absolutely. And what kind of motivation is that for him to go after the championship in his last season as a NASCAR driver? I think it would be a rallying point for his team for sure.
Well, and again, from the fans' perspective, earlier today, my Twitter account's not working right now, but earlier today I had done a poll on that. Nobody is picking him to win the championship, but 55% picked him to get a win and make the playoffs, and 36% picked him to not make the playoffs, with 9% not making the final four. Or, I'm sorry, 9% making it into the final four.
Okay, that's interesting. and with that, we're going to go ahead and move into our NASCAR Cup Series preview before we run out of time there. So let's go ahead and talk about that, because they are also racing at Richmond this weekend. And before we leave tonight, I want to make sure I've neglected to give you all of the details of times and who's carrying the coverage and everything else. So we'll make sure to give you all of that information as well. I'm going to start here with the Monster Energy Cup Series. The race is the Toyota Owners 400. They're racing Sunday, April the 20th. Fox will carry the coverage starting at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. The race should start sometime around 2 o'clock this weekend. They are racing 300 miles for 400 laps. Stage 1 will end on lap 100, stage 2 on lap 200, and, of course, the final stage at the end of the race in 400 laps. So definitely making sure that you have the information that you need there. Again, we have some information on Dale Earnhardt's retirement. We'll have more on that on fanforracing.com, so definitely keep an eye on that. Jimmy Johnson has won 2 in a row. What do you think of his chances of going for a third straight win this weekend? And if he does, it would mean tying with a legend, Cale Yarborough.
At Richmond, he's definitely got a good chance of that. I'm trying to find that. Okay, there we go. Is the only active driver with consecutive wins at Richmond already, with a sweep in the 2007 year.
Yes. And so it's not like he has not done that before. He's done it before. And he, again, if he does it this weekend, it would tie him with the Hall of Famer Cale Yarborough for 6th in the Monster Energy Cup Series of all-time wins list of 83. So he's moving up that list into legend categories of his own. And when you think about 83 wins in such a short period of time, it seems like a short period of time anyway, He trails right now drivers Darrell Waltrip and Bobby Allison for fourth on that all-time list at 84. So it's just one more that he can kind of make another jump over those guys. And I think there's little doubt that he might not be able to, that he will be able to do that in just a matter of time, and probably sometime this season.
When in his 30 career starts at Richmond, he's claimed 3 wins, 7 top fives, and 12 top tens, and is 6th in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Points Series standings right now, only 116 behind first place Kyle Larson.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. He's got he's tied with Martin Truex Jr. For most playoff points. Brad Keselowski also is in that group. He has all 10 playoff points as well. But Johnson and Keselowski are the only drivers with multiple wins this season. And it's, I think it's going to be a battle between those two over who's going to end up with the most wins by the end of the regular season. And keep in mind, the guy who is leading the series point standings at the end of the regular season gets extra playoff points as well. And I'm talking 15 extra playoff points if you're leading the points at the end of the regular season. That's huge.
Yeah, and that's one with the stage racing right now. People are watching that as far as the points or whatever, and they talk about it. I don't think they understand yet how important those playoff points are going to become once we get into the playoffs.
Absolutely. We gave some examples of that last week with the Xfinity Series, that it's making an impact, that without the playoff points, William Byron would have been leading the points. But with the playoff points, Elliott Sadler actually has that points lead. And it's interesting to see. We're going to see those kind of impacts in both the Camping World Truck Series and the Cup Series as well. So something for fans to be aware of and look for as we continue to play out this season. What about Bowyer? He had a great finish last week, and he's coming to Richmond. Richmond has kind of a history with Bowyer. What are your thoughts about Bowyer this weekend?
Well, he was one I had highlighted and will probably go on my fantasy team, but he's revived his career. Again, you mentioned that he finished second at Bristol. He's got 2 top fives and 4 top 10 finishes this season, which outnumbers his total number totals of 0 top fives and 3 from last year. Again, he was with H. Scott Motorsports, not in the best equipment, and he's up to 8th in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Point Series without a win, 121 markers behind points leader Kyle Larson.
Okay, so he's still got some ground to make up, but I would say that Clint Bowyer is having a lot more fun this season than he did last season racing behind the wheel.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody has mentioned how his personality has come back. Darrell Waltrip likes to quote him when he interviewed him last year, you know, what was wrong, why he was struggling, and Clint's answer was, "My car hates me."
Well, and I'm sure it feels that way sometimes. Really, really proud of what Kyle Larson is doing this year. He's having a breakout season. He's got the points lead. He's one of the drivers that certainly is in contention for those extra playoff points at the end of the regular season.
No doubt. He's 24 years old, and he's finally coming into his own. He was one that was projected as a hot rookie. It took him 3 years. But with the stats he's setting this year, again, he's got a 27-point lead over Chase Elliott in the standings with 1 win, 5 top fives, and 6 top tens. When you look at his stats at Richmond, he's only posted 1 top 10 and a runner-up showing last fall. He's never finished worse than 16th. And has an average finish of 11.3 And everywhere he's been this year, he's improving on his stats over years past. Again, he's just on top of his game right now.
Yeah, you definitely can't rule out Kyle Larson as a contender this weekend at Richmond. And as you mentioned, you can't even look at his past stats because he is just really shown a tremendous improvement. It's a breakout season for him. And I think we've got a lot more to look forward to from Kyle Larson this year, too. Kyle Larson is definitely going after a championship this year with the start that he's had. The question becomes, how long can he sustain that? Can he keep that momentum going for the rest of the regular season? And certainly that's something that fans will keep their eyes on. Now, we know that a driver who's really good at Richmond is one of the Virginia natives, and that's Denny Hamlin. He looks forward to going to Richmond every year. It's a home track. He remembers watching races from the stands at Richmond International Raceway, and it's got to be a real thrill for him to be driving there in front of all his family and friends at that track and to have such a good record there as well.
Yeah, he'll tell you that that's almost as important as winning the Daytona 500 to him because it is his home track. He'll be going for his second straight win after winning visiting victory lane in last year's fall race at Richmond. And in 21 starts, he has 3 wins, 8 top fives, and 12 top tens. He's the second best in driver rating at 109.9 and third best average finishing average of 10.1.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And his average running position is 7.8 there. So Hamlin right now has not had the start to the season that he wanted. He's 15th in the series point standing. He still has some ground to make up, like we were talking about Bowyer. He's 176 points behind Kyle Larson. So a good finish at Richmond, one of his favorite tracks, would really be a big boost for Denny Hamlin. And what about Kyle Busch? When was the last time you said Kyle Busch has not had a win yet this season?
You know, and we talked about him last week, thought Bristol was going to be the place. Again, if you look at the stats, Richmond could certainly be there. And Joe Gibbs Racing has the last 3 wins there with Edwards, Hamlin, and Kenseth. Kyle Busch has been 2nd, 9th, and 2nd in those. But he's visited Victory Lane there 9 times. I'm sorry, overall he's had 9 times, 9 wins in the previous 2 seasons at Richmond in 23 starts. He's got 4 wins and 15 top 5s, 17 top 10s.
Well, and I think he's got a little bit of redemption that he's looking for this week at Richmond as well. And I know, again, he's been running up front, but he's always had a little bit of something that's happened that's kind of put him back behind the eight ball again. But last year, Busch led 78 laps in the last year's spring race before his teammate, Carl Edwards. You'll recall, he moved him up a little bit off of turn 4, on the final go-around and ended up winning that race. Kyle Busch wants to come back and win this race this weekend, without a doubt. But again, he's got some ground to make up. He's 146 points behind Kyle Larson, and he wants to make up that ground as quickly as he possibly can. And Richmond could be an opportunity for him, too.
I forgot Richmond was where that happened.
Yeah, so, yeah, when that happens, you circle that on your calendar to come back and go after it the following year or the next chance you get. Now, Furniture Row Racing puts on a really good show at Richmond, too. At the Food City 500, Martin Truex looked really good. He placed 2nd in Stage 1. He won Stage 2. He finished 8th because of his pit road speeding penalty that put him back out of the top running there. Again, he wants to come back here to Richmond and put some stats together at Richmond, right?
And he was 3rd in the spring race last year at Richmond. And then also 9th in the fall race. So he's definitely a top 10 car. Like you said, he really, really wants to get another win.
He wants to be one of those multiple winners. Now, also, in addition to Martin Truex, you've got Eric Jones. And he's definitely shown some potential here, too. He finished third in Stage 1 and sixth in Stage 2. And he finished 17th because of a wreck and a pit road penalty. He sits 12th in the point standings right now, his highest ranking in the Cup Series. And he's also the Sunoco Rookie of the Year contender. So Eric Jones is certainly a driver to keep your eye on. He's going after as many of those stage points as he can get this season as well, and really doing well for Furniture Row Racing in this series.
Yeah, I think he definitely had a top five finish last week at Bristol had it not been for his wreck.
Yeah, I agree. And what a heartbreak when something like that happens. Well, we're at the end of our show already. We're going to do a little bit of overtime here because we did kind of get behind our schedule a little bit. And with that, what I want to do is now let's give you an opportunity to talk about your next article that you're working on. And then after we do that, I do want to get your race winner picks because we didn't really do that for the Xfinity Series or for the Cup Series due to our time constraints here. But let's talk about what articles you're working on.
All right. The one that will be coming to you for the next posting is about the Young Guns. We kind of touched on it. With Dale Jr. retiring, these young guys of who's coming up and who's going to fill certain roles within NASCAR. And then, like I said, I had a list of future articles, which may have to be realigned now with Jr.'s announcement, because one of them was going to be on Junior Motorsports. So I think I'll make that my next one and kind of give fans a look at, you know, what he's doing outside of his own Cup driving. And we'll have, you know, more focus on going into the future that he's not leaving the sport.
Sounds like a great article. Let me ask you a quick question here and something that a lot of people are talking about. I know who my top pick is, and I kind of mentioned it earlier, but who's your top pick to ride in the number 88 for next season? And I know Hendrick Motorsports says they're not going to be in a big hurry to announce that. But they've got to be looking at who's going to be in that seat for the 2018 season.
Well, if you follow social media at all, there's some wild things going on out there. But logically,
I'm talking about MJ Husman. Who's your pick?
I have to see it being Alex Bowman. You know, he showed what he can do in that car last year. He stayed with them. Again, it wouldn't have necessarily been leaving for a top ride. He had other opportunities to drive, though, but he stayed working with Hendrick as their, not developmental driver, but working with the simulator. So I just don't see him passing on him because, again, I don't think they're ready. I don't think the plan was to move William Byron up yet. So I think Alex Bowman gets and deserves that ride.
Yeah, I think we've been leading up to this throughout the night when we talked about William Byron and the idea of moving him up into a Cup seat and talking about it possibly being premature for him. And you know, William Byron is certainly a contender for that, but I have to agree with you. Alex Bowman has stepped into that seat and done quite well, I think. In racing with Hendrick Motorsports. He's got kind of an established relationship with some of the team members there. And to me, he seems to be the logical choice to move into that seat. And I think given an opportunity to be in good equipment like Hendrick Motorsports, we can see great things from a driver like Alex Bowman. And he gave us a glimpse of that when he was filling in for Dale Jr. last year. And, you know, Dale Jr. saw it in fact, because he said he's the one who deserved to be racing in that All-Star, in that the Clash to start off the season this year. And Alex Bowman was there instead of Dale Jr., because Dale Jr. felt he earned his right to be in that race. So I really think it's going to be Alex Bowman as well. That's
and
my
yeah, I completely agree that Junior made it quite clear that, I mean, he was part of one of the ones that wanted Bowman in that car. I know the first race was because they wanted Jeff Gordon at Indy, but Jeff Gordon wasn't available for that first race. And then Jeff Gordon, too, said, you know, you got a talented young driver here. He wanted to cut back, so they gave more races to Bowman.
Mm-hmm. I think Bowman has a little more maturity as well. Not that William Byron isn't a very mature driver for his age, but I think there's more to it than that. And I just think it would do him a world of good to stay in the Xfinity Series another season before moving up to the Cup Series. And just like they found a place for Eric Jones, I'm sure that they can find a place for William Byron as time goes on here as well. And you never know when the next retirement's going to come, too, because, you know, Matt Kenseth, a lot of people thought Matt Kenseth was going to announce retirement when they called a press conference about a week or so ago, and he was just announcing a new sponsor. So you never know when that next announcement is going to come, and I'm sure there's going to be an opportunity for William Byron down the road, and we're not ruling him out as a contender. Definitely looking forward to your article coming out on Fan for Racing, so fans can definitely look for that. But let's go back to the Xfinity Series. Who's your race winner pick for the Xfinity Series this weekend?
I'm going to have to go with a hometown boy of Elliott Sadler.
Okay, I think that's a good pick. I think that's definitely a good pick for Richmond International Raceway. The hometown guy who is leading the points is a good opportunity. Let's see here. Who am I going to pick? They talked about first-time winners. I hate to pick the same person, though. So that's why I'm kind of trying to pick somebody new here. William Byron's also from North Carolina. That's not too far away from where he is either. And you've also got drivers that are kind of hitting milestones. Elliott Sadler's one of those this weekend. It might be one of these Sprint Cup guys, or not Sprint Cup, but Cup guys that are racing this weekend too. I'm going to call either Justin Allgaier or Daniel Hemric are going to repeat for the Dash for Cash. And I'm going to say that we're going to get a first-time winner this weekend. Why not go with William Byron? They're battling for the points. William Byron has been up there contending each and every week. I'm going to give it to William Byron this weekend.
I was going to say, Justin Allgaier would have been my second choice. Just Elliott Sadler has that little bit more experience. But if you noticed, all three of them that we talked about are junior motorsports cars. I mean, they're on top of their game in the Xfinity and have taken over from Joe Gibbs.
Yeah, but I do think one thing that we need to be aware of, too, is that you've got some Sprint Cup guys, or I keep saying Sprint Cup, but some Cup guys that are going to be racing in this race, and they're certainly going to be contenders here as well. And just a quick reminder of who those drivers are. Let's see, I keep skipping over it somehow.
You got both Dillons,
the monster
Austin
names
and Ty
to watch. Austin Dillon, Ty Dillon, Daniel Suarez, Ryan Blaney, and I think Kyle Larson is the guy they got to look out for. So Kyle Larson has an opportunity to sweep this
weekend. Eric Jones will also be in there.
Okay, I missed Eric Jones. So, yeah, he's definitely a hot driver right now, too. But I think Kyle Larson is the one that they're really going to have to – they're going to have to beat him this weekend at Richmond in that Xfinity Series race. Okay, moving on to the Cup race. Who's your race winner pick there?
I'm going to go with Clint Bowyer. Nope, I'm going to go with Clint Bowyer.
Okay, that's a nice pick of Clint Bowyer at Richmond International Raceway this weekend. And I know he would love to do that. There's a lot of drivers wanting to get a boost in points. I'm going to throw Kyle Busch's name out in there. I think for a lot of reasons, Kyle Busch is going after that win this weekend, and he needs a breakthrough win. And I think Richmond is a great place for him to do that. So I'm gonna say it's going to be Kyle Busch this weekend.
Well, and again, with the stats we covered with Joe Gibbs Racing there at Richmond, you can't go wrong with that.
Absolutely not. So with that, I think what we're going to do here is we're going to go ahead and close out the show unless there is something. Let's see, we've got something here. I've got a message here from a fan on social media that I want to get in. And actually, it's a compliment. I thought it was going to be a question, but I appreciate it, Andrew. Your comment on Facebook, great job tonight. He felt that we meshed well with some great exchanges. So thanks for the compliment. We do appreciate it, Andrew. And definitely look forward to coming back next week to do this again. Next up on the schedule is going to be some great racing. And you know that MJ and I are going to be right here every Thursday night with the preview of the upcoming weekend of racing. And I'm struggling right now to get to my notes. What's up next on the schedule here?
Talladega.
Jay. Oh, yeah, that's going to be fun because that's always a wild card. And definitely looking forward to previewing Talladega next week. Now, Monday, Sal Segala and I will be on at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and that's our review show of the racing at both Richmond International Raceway. And don't forget, we'll also be doing a review of the race, ARCA race, at Salem Speedway. Hopefully we'll be able to get the race winner from Salem for our winner circle on Monday night as well. So definitely we'll have information out on Monday about who our guests are going to be, and we'll be reviewing all of the racing that took place this weekend. So, Jay, thanks for a great night. Enjoyed doing the preview with you, and I know we went a little overtime here tonight, but as we continue to kind of mesh together, as Andrew puts it, I hope that we'll be able to get some guests on here as well. But thanks for a great night. I enjoyed doing this with you, and I'll look forward to doing this again on Thursday night next week as we get into the May races.
All right, Sharon. Well, I will talk to you Thursday for Talladega then.
All right. Take care and have a great race weekend, and we'll talk to you on the other side. Good night, and thanks, fans, for listening.